Welcome to Apostates on the Fringe, the podcast where we discuss political and religious news from the atheist leftist perspective. We are sponsored by Atheist Society of Knoxville, and we're your host. I'm Alistair.
I'm Dustin.
And Sam.
What you drinking tonight, Dustin?
You know what? I'm glad you asked, because I have one of my favorite beers ever, and it's called Gotta Get Up to Get Down. It is a coffee milk stout.
It's a good beer.
It is amazing. It's fucking amazing. It's actually really great to have, especially in colder weather, because it's kind of fucking heavy.
They actually changed the coffee they use in that.
Did they?
Yeah, I've heard it's a little different now. They've changed the formula a bit.
Yeah, so it really does have coffee in it. And so it's at the Wiseacre Brewing Company out of Memphis, Tennessee.
They're great in general.
They are great. This is my absolute favorite beer to have. So I'm glad I had that tonight.
It's one of my favorite too, but I can hardly find it anymore because all the fucking stores are filled with IPAs.
All the IPAs.
I don't know how that got popular.
And we're going to get hate mail from this, but I think they taste like fucking pine cones.
It's horrible. I hate them.
I know we're going to get some hate mail because I know there's a lot of people that do like IPAs. Well, they have to, because that's all they stock the fucking like shelves with outside of the domestics.
Now they have bars that specifically only sell IPAs.
I've seen those too.
I can't.
Like you go to Sutry's and most of them on there are IPAs. Every now, like you can find like one or two dark, and I like my dark beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is dark.
What are you drinking, Sam?
Same thing as last week, the Siren Blonde Ale. It's pretty good.
I'm drinking the same thing as last week, too, the Highland Brewing Midnight Summit.
Do you know why y'all are drinking the same thing? Because y'all bravely left your beer here despite that it being Super Bowl weekend, knowing that it was in danger of me consuming it, like, just out of the blue, because that game was a shit show.
But it's still here.
Yeah.
It is still here. I went and got, I think, something else. Or I just stuck to the vodka. I'm not even, what did I have? I don't know. Probably the vodka.
So, we're supposed to be discussing religion on this podcast. There's not a whole lot of religion at this point in time. Like, there's not a lot of religious news at this point.
It's all connected, though.
Yeah, it is. But, like, just to talk about religion some, why don't we discuss our backgrounds with religion?
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I actually grew up very religious with my parents. First, we went to a Baptist church. I was into it. We went to church camp. I sang the fucking songs, the kumbaya. I got baptized. And then when I was a freshman in high school, I moved down to San Antonio, Texas. And my stepmother at the time was a Jehovah's Witness. And they got me into that. And I was kind of like, they sell it really fucking well with their propaganda. I'm not going to lie. They sold it really well. And I was in there. I would go out to every of the meetings, they called them, to the Kingdom Hall. I would go out witnessing on the weekend and then go to these huge conventions. So I was in it. And I even did a speech in high school about creationism as a freshman. And now I look back at it, I'm like, I facepalm myself so hard. I'm like, you asshole. But then as I got older, I started hearing other people talk about, you know, their faith and how they had the love of Jesus in their heart. And I never really had that. And I thought they were kind of weird for even saying it, because I didn't have that. And so I kind of slowly left it. And then I joined a site called Reddit. And the default Reddit at the time of that was an atheism, our atheism. And so I just basically got memed out of religion and into atheism.
Really memes in Reddit.
Because they really did, you know, make a lot of sense about, you know, the hypocrisy or the logical fallacies and all the problems with the Bible and religion. So I got memed out of it. Then I found some, I found Hitchens, Dawkins, you know, listened to some of their work. Then I found the Atheist Experience in Austin, started listening to them quite a bit. And then I found this group in
2013. I was never religious. I was just like a presumed Christian, as everyone is. My parents never took me or forced me to go to church. They would use it as a threat of punishment. Like, if you're bad, we're going to take you to church. And I'd be like, no. So I was never really into it, but I kind of just, like, Jesus never stuck with me. I never thought Jesus sounded like it made any sense at all. But I can say that I believed in God up through some form of God, maybe a more pantheistic, like, something out there type thing, vague. And then in high school, that just got a little more cynical with it, and I was the kid that was like making videos to show my class called Satan versus Jesus.
That sounds amazing.
Satan would win. No. And I would show these to my entire class, and I even dressed up as Jesus once and went to my high school. Someone tried to throw a rock at me and missed it, hit my friend. But
well, Jesus was always persecuted, so you deserved every bit of that. That was your fault.
How it feels. No, someone. Yeah, I'm surprised I was able to get away with some of that stuff, but I guess my school was okay. I was bearding. And then through college, I started getting into the same stuff that you were saying, Hitchens, Dawkins, atheist experience, same things. Mm-hmm. And atheist, I was going to school for broadcasting, and I'm like, I want to show, like, atheist experience. So as soon as I got out of school, I got in touch with the Atheist Society and started the show there and met up with this group, ASK, and that eventually turned into this.
Al, tell us your story. I don't think I even know your damn story. I've known you for like 8 or 9 years, and I don't even know your damn story.
So I wasn't raised religious, really. Like, it wasn't in our household, but I was raised military. So every like 2 to 3 years, we were moving. And from like probably 5, 6, whatever church was closest to us and would come pick us up, my mom would send us to Sunday school. Which I'm pretty sure was so she could go back to sleep and get a little bit of Z's in while we were gone. And then, like, we eventually got to a point where we let her sleep in and she stopped sending us to Sunday school. But I was always that kid that questioned things, even at a young age. And I got really frustrated by never getting the responses that I was looking for. I was told not to ask questions a lot when I was younger.
Well, that's in general. Always, you know, don't ask questions, follow it on faith.
But then at like 13, my mom, who I use air quotes when I say was not a racist, she sent me to Catholic school because I was hanging out with a little black boy. We were, like I said, 13. So by that was a point in time, I'd already been exposed to several different sects of Christianity. And then they threw me into Catholic school, and I'm noticing all the differences, and they all believe in the same God, and, you know, like the contradictions in it all. It all started, like, I was thinking about it. I was noticing, recognizing it, and I started questioning a whole lot. And then by 15, I finally got to the point where I said out loud, I'm like, I don't think God is real. And I said it to my mom, and all of a sudden, we're Christian. In this house, we believe in God. I did not. but yeah, so I've always been a non-believer. There was a point when my brother passed away, 2007. You know, it was a sudden thing. The last thing I wanted was to never see my brother again. So I tried. I was 25 at the time. I tried really, really hard to believe. It didn't work. Nothing. I was talking. My friend's uncle was a pastor, so I actually really like him, though. We would sit and talk a good bit about religion, and I really enjoyed my discussions with him. And I still, to this day, love discussing religion with certain religious people. But, yeah, never been a believer. I think I was about 30 when, you know, I had a kid, so I started thinking of, as a non-believer, who my kid had already come out and said they didn't believe in God on their own. I let them explore church on their own. So I started thinking about my kid growing up in Tennessee as a non-believer, and I didn't want them to deal with some of the shit I did in Tennessee, like the judgment. And I figured the only way to prevent that is to start the conversation. So I started seeking out more atheist stuff, and that's how I found Atheist Society of Knoxville. And you know,
I mean, can I ask, do they experience it in school at all, or did they at all?
Well, so I said my friend had the uncle who was a preacher. Mm. Her and her son lived with me when the kid was 2-3 years old, and he was going to Awanas and church stuff. And of course, my kid, you know, he'd come back with stuff, and my kid's like, I want to go to that too. Okay, fine, you know, and I just never really expressed my opinion on it. And then I think school, they were hearing some by the time they started school, but it wasn't pressed at home like my upbringing. And then the kid was 6 when they came up to me one day and was like, is God real? I'm like, well, what do you think? That was my answer to, like, everything. Santa real, all of that. I never said yes or no because I don't like lying to my kid. Instead, I'm like, what do you think? And they're like, I don't think God's real. This makes no sense to me. And started explaining, articulating why God doesn't make sense to them. At that point, I'm like, yeah, I don't believe in them either.
I'm sure when they were doing that, you were like, yes.
I know, yeah.
So since you guys never really believed them, you guys didn't really have that post-clarity anger then that, like, I myself and others have experienced?
I did, but it was kind of different. Yes, I was annoyed that so many people, I mean, they didn't realize they were lying to me, but they did lie to me. And, you know, I grew up in a situation where my mom did lie to me intentionally a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just little lies, it irks me.
Right. Now, I don't say, like, I was lied to, like, that they lied to me, but that I was lied to in some way. That
right.
I was presented with false information. Maybe it wasn't deliberately by them, but it kind of pissed me off because I had led my life up until that point a certain way with a fear of hell instilled, which I think is a form of child abuse. To give that absolutely a fear of form of child abuse.
Because even though it wasn't pushed heavily in my house, like, society still put, you know, I remember masturbating for the first time at 10 years old. And having, I'd like be masturbating in my bed and then like have this thought of my grandfather who had recently passed away. I didn't even know this grandfather that well. He lived in California. We were military out in Hawaii, Kansas. Like, I saw him a few times in my life, but all I kept thinking about is my grandfather watching me masturbate from heaven. I'm like, this is really disturbing. Or even God watching me masturbate. I'm like, can they? Mm. And then I'm like, this can't possibly. Like, this makes no sense. But I think,
as I said, it's just presumed. Like,
right.
My parents didn't push on me, but, like, all the kids, like, assume you are. They're like, I go to church. You must go to church, too. And then to fit in, you're just like, oh, sure, I believe in that. So you kind of do at some point.
And to that extent, my parents didn't also really kind of know all the shit that they told us when we went to church camp and all the things. Because, you know, the summer church camp, I mean, we're there for a full week. And, you know, some of the things they talk about there, definitely sex was definitely a topic. And it was, so they didn't know, you know, the things they talked about. It legitimately made me angry.
I think what made me most angry is all the way religion, like, rides into everything. And that's still where my anger is now. Like, I remember at, like, 15, 16 years old, sitting in a classroom and hearing something and being like, I think that violates the separation of church and state. Like, I knew about that by high school. What I didn't know about is that there were organizations like Freedom From Religion Foundation and things like that that would stop that. Like, I wouldn't have had the family support to actually, like, follow through so much, but I believe FFRF still would have helped me in whatever ways they could to stop the shit happening around me. Another thing is when people found out that I didn't believe, there was this sudden shift as if I'm a bad person for not believing.
As I said, in high school, I was literally making videos with Satan. I did a video where Satan roofied Jesus and tortured him a la Deer Hunter and, like, made him play Russian roulette in a shed and then, like, had a special effect of where he drilled into his stomach and, like, blood everywhere. I showed that to my class. Like,
it's really fucked up, Sam.
They knew I wasn't.
Sam, right. Who hurt you?
Yeah, well, they knew. I talked in high school. I would tell people. A lot of the reactions were some people just stopped talking to me. Other people tried to talk to me more to try to convince me. A few people would invite me to church, and I actually, even in high school, I would go to church when people invited me. Just, you know, okay, well,
no one invites me twice.
No, they don't.
I'm like, I'll talk to your preacher. They're like, please do. And then they're like, never again.
Well, it was about that time when I was going to church when people invited me. I was also, this was 15. I started researching a lot of other religions as well, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm definitely not a Christian. Maybe there's something else I can believe in. And it got to the point that I, you know, looking at all these religions, I'm like, all of them in some way or another have some version of doing to others as you want done to you. You know, like, it's all worded different in different religions, but the concept is still there. You get what you put out in the world. And in my mind at 15 years old, I'm like, why do I need a God for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't I just try to be the best person I can be? Like, and there was always the thought of, if God is real, if I'm wrong, why would he punish me for using the brain that he supposedly gave me?
Exactly.
That has the ability to question. Like, he gave me this brain to do this, so why would he punish me for doing it?
So. But to the point you said earlier where you felt bad that you didn't believe, and I had the same kind of thing because, as I mentioned before, where I kind of even mocked the people who was like, I love Jesus so much in my heart. And I while I mocked them, I also felt bad that I didn't believe as much, like what was wrong with me.
Right.
And it was a self-reflection that, you know, was kind of damaging to me at the time because I wasn't what I thought society expected of me, that something was wrong with me, that I couldn't be what they wanted me to be. And it was kind of damaging. And that's the harm that, you know, religion and the installation of, you know, you got to have faith does to people. And so, yeah, when I finally got out of religion and said, I don't believe in God. And the fear of hell didn't really stick with me that long. But I was fucking mad that, you know, everything that had happened to me throughout my life because of what they had instilled into me as the truth when I'm like, that's not true. That's absolutely not true.
I think we can connect this with our other side of our topic of our show. Like, how did we become the leftists we are too? And I think that was a part of, like, I've always been pissed off at pissed off at conservatives my whole life. You know, I had gay friends in middle school and through all that. So, like, I always hated George Bush, George W. It's obvious that those two things are connected. So. Mm-hmm.
I definitely became way more left as I embraced my atheism or non-belief. Absolutely. You know, LGBTQ, trans rights, you know, abortion rights.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Literally everything, everything that religion fucking digs its hands into politics is what drove me to left.
Well, what it is once you get past the point where you're questioning God and you finally realize it's all a lie, you start looking at all these other issues, especially when you realize that, like, a lot of these arguments for why things are bad is God.
Right.
It all goes back to religion in some way or another, and it's just like, you know,
it says it in the good book.
Right, and I'm that type of person. I'm like, okay, so I know I can do this now, so let me try this. And I just kept, you know, moving further and further, like, you know, experimenting with different things as well. But yeah, so I think me being as left as I am today, I think atheism, you know, my road to atheism definitely helped some with that. I think I've always been more left, though. And I think my brother, you know, I listen to music a lot in my car that my brother introduced me to as teenagers. And I'm like listening to these lyrics. I was like, my brother did a lot to shape me and make me this way.
That's true, too. I listened to a lot of anti-religious music growing up that pushed me.
For some reason, Corporate Avengers, it popped into my head about a year ago. I hadn't listened to this band since I was in college the first time. So 19 years old, like half of my life ago, my brother introduced me to Corporate Avengers. And I listened to it like all the time. And then 15 years go by and I don't listen to it. And I find it again. Like the whole time I'm thinking of my brother, I'm like, yeah, he definitely created this monster. Like,
no, unfortunately, I grew up in fucking Midwest, Indiana. You know, it was in Indianapolis. We did move to Cloverdale, but now raised on country music, at least from what I can remember. And I was that was when I was in fourth, fifth grade. So
yeah, we were raised. My mom listened to country music, but my brother was a musician, so he kind of opened the door a good bit.
Because country music is just about God, and a lot of times, so
I already got in trouble for that this week. Saying
what?
Fuck
for what now?
A lot of people jumped on a post I made about fuck country music and that it's fundamentally racist.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that. I saw that.
Yeah, I missed that one completely.
Hey, did either of you, so once I did leave religion and I started listening to Atheist Experience, I was like, I kind of want to do what these guys kind of want to do. I got into counter-apologetics. Did you guys get into that? You know,
I loved it because it's an argument. You know you can always win because they're not coming up with any new...
Exactly. It's just, they regurgitate the same arguments.
You mean
the
last, arguing with Christians?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. New
arguments for thousands of years. Haven't figured anything new out, so...
I don't think I got into it, like, once I finally made the jump to call myself an atheist, which wasn't... You know, I used the word agnostic, things like that.
I think I did first, too, as well.
Oh. I was 30 before I finally threw out the word atheist, and so, decided I'm owning it.
It was... I didn't use the word... I used agnostic until I read God Delusion, I think,
where
he was like, hey, it's the same thing. Quit calling yourself agnostic.
Right.
But I was debating with Christians back in high school. Like, it's just something I've always done.
I also embraced the term agnostic because I was like, well, I don't know, you know, at the time, but you know,
it was
I had misdefined it or had been misdefined to me, so that's why
fence and they can get you, and you know, you can push you on their side.
It doesn't have the stigma, you know, because the word atheist was just is akin to, you know, Satanism for these people.
Yeah, that jump too.
I finally started like really looking at the definitions of words, and we should get into that because atheist and agnostic are not interchangeable. Atheism deals with belief. Gnosticism deals with knowledge.
They're not mutually exclusive at all.
No. I'm agnostic atheist.
I do not know for sure. Yeah,
I can't say with certainty that there is no God. I do not believe in God. Right. So I am both agnostic and an atheist.
Yeah,
so,
most people I run into that still call themselves an agnostic, I'm like, I'm sure you're an atheist agnostic. You don't really. They haven't made that jump or connection either. I think there's still a lot of people trying to cling onto that word. But I think, like I said, part of it too is I think that highly religious people look at agnostics better. Like, oh, okay. Like, oh, you'll fall across on my side of the fence before, you know, you go and burn in hell. It'll be okay.
Well, that's very true because, if I'm wrong, have you guys seen any of the latest polls? Are atheists still the least trusted in terms of... Okay. Because I know that, especially in terms of those running for public office, they did a poll, like, who would you trust the least or the most in an order? And on the bottom, I think, was Muslim. And then below that, I think even was atheist. I don't know if that's still true. I know that was true when I looked at it was a Pew Research, but that was a few years ago. But I don't think much has changed.
I think that almost even says more about people and what keeps them good if they need a higher power to be good, if that's what they're saying about themselves. I think that's kind of a mirror test.
They absolutely think that all morality comes from God.
That was a question that people I got a lot. Like, where do you get your morals if you don't believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from empathy, you know, the Bible didn't tell us not to keep other human beings as slaves. Where we got to the point where society finally realized slavery was wrong is people started listening to the stories of the slaves, and they, you know, they realized these are human beings. They have emotions. And as that happened, more and more and more white people started to have empathy towards black people. I think that helped pull us out of there.
I don't even see that as such a lot. I think it was more they had machines to do the work for them so they could, like, oh, I don't need you to make my industry anymore. So
you think it was pure
capitalism? Yeah, I think, yeah.
I mean, it's not like they were paying wages anyways.
I don't think it was an upgrade in empathy. I think it was an upgrade in manufacturing systems that made them, like, oh, do we need to cause this much suffering anymore? It's actually not a... really hurting our bottom line right now. So,
but no, because the South fought to keep slaves.
Yeah, but they didn't. They weren't as industrial as the North. That was another big thing.
But what I mean, then the South could have continued on with the slavery and stuff.
Yeah, they would have wanted to. Yeah,
they did want to.
They obviously wanted to.
Obviously,
then they weren't like, "Here's a tractor." They're like, "Oh, cool, my slave can drive that." They're like, "Okay, wartime."
Why would the North want to stop slavery because they had machines when it doesn't affect them? The slavery down South.
Well, I'm just saying that I think that the increase in machine industrialization
was a
huge factor, okay. And not even just in America. There's slavery all over the world through all of history,
mm-hmm.
And I think industrialization is the actual big push to.
I mean, I don't think so, because we still have it today. When we look at the prison systems, we still have slavery.
And if they could replace them with machines, they probably would, and then they wouldn't care about their lives either. I mean, the racism's still there. Like, it's still rooted in otherness. It's still, these people are disposable, and I think that if they couldn't use them as a workforce, then they wouldn't want to use them at all. Whereas they do push them aside so they can ignore them.
So speaking of the prison system, let's get on to some ACAB shit.
I actually got a positive story regarding this, and this comes out of Denver. This story is on USA Today. Denver successfully sent mental health professionals, not police, to hundreds of calls. So it's a program called STAR, the Support Team Assistance Response. And it was a two-person team, a medic and a clinician, basically staffed in a van from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekdays. It was launched to be a person-centric mobile crisis response to community members who are experiencing problems related to mental health, depression, poverty, homelessness, or substance abuse issues.
And it was successful.
It was. And here's the reason why they launched it, because obviously the summer protests, I mean, they launched it in June, and it's no coincidence, I think, that they launched it in June because of, you know, what happened, the protest for Breonna Taylor and
George Floyd,
you know, the massive nationwide, even worldwide protest. They protested in the UK, and I'm not sure if they did in France.
This past summer was the largest civil rights movement in history. It covered every U.S. state. We had protests. Like, there was a period where there were protests in every single state at the same time.
It was kind of uplifting to see that kind of nationwide response. But I'm going to continue on here. Since 2015, police have fatally shot nearly 1,400 people, fatally, with mental illnesses, according to the database. Now, Sam, over the first 6 months, I'm going to quiz you on here.
Okay.
They were able to respond to 748 calls, okay? How many of those calls do you think...
The cops?
Required. Yeah. No. This is the STAR response team, so no police. But how many of those calls do you think required the assistance of police? And how many arrests were made? What do you think?
None.
None?
Yeah.
None. Out of 748 calls, not a single incident required the sense of... Because of fucking course not. Not every situation requires a person with a gun. And these are people that are most mainly a danger to themselves.
So this is what the defund movement is pretty much all about. A lot of people hear the word defund, or the words defund the police, and they're thinking we're saying rip all the money away from the police immediately, abolish all police. And like, I know some people that are in the camp of abolish all police now, but they're few and far between, and I think even those people know it's unrealistic to advocate for that at this point in time.
I'm at change the police so much that we don't recognize them as the police anymore.
Yeah, and that's, I think, most of us who scream defund the police, that's what we're going for.
Exactly.
We want to see change, and one of those changes is taking the money that police have and putting it towards mental health services, drug treatment, things that actually help the community. Because as of now, our prison system is like completely punitive.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's no restorative factor to it.
There's no real rehabilitation. The what's the reattrition rate?
It's like 78%. I looked it up the other day. Reoffenders, like 78%. I may be a little bit off there, but I'm almost certain it was in the 70s for that one.
It's not working.
No,
it's not
absolutely
working at all.
Is not working.
And they found a way to make money off of it. I was also thinking, like, you know, that's the same mentality of Christianity too. It's all about punishment instead of rehabilitation. You know, you're going to go to hell forever for sinning. It's not like, oh, we're going to like teach you and like make you better and put you back on earth. You know, It's the same, like, system of you need to be punished for what you did.
So the theory is if we treat the disease and not the symptom, we can have less crime. If, you know, because most crime is need-based. And I'm going to include drug-related crimes as need-based.
Right.
Because whether we want to admit that, they're, like, it's an addiction. In their mind, they need that fix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you can tell them all day long, no, you don't really need that. They need mental health doctors and drug treatment.
Those because are two things that Tennessee has continually defunded over the last decades.
And so that's, you're right, it's exactly what we were pursuing regarding the defund the police. So that's why I applauded what Oregon did, right?
Right.
And that's when they decriminalized like the majority of drugs and with certain substances.
That's
because
true too.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is true too.
Like, yeah,
Portland, you said?
It was Oregon.
Yeah,
well,
you said Denver decriminalized mushrooms, I think, too.
Did they? I didn't know about that.
I don't think I saw that either, but.
But I would like to see a lot more. Do you think, you know, this will be adopted in more cities, or do you think they're going to keep, you know, do you think it'll be a red state, blue state thing in terms of what they do with their police response and getting the proper help to the situations that a lot of these, some of these are just wellness checks. It's a wellness check, and they end up getting shot. And it's fucking absurd. And so, you know, that's why not every situation needs a gun, because
I was correct.
They get, you know, trigger happy or trigger with their visits, and it does not need to happen because the threat, you know, there's really no threat to begin with. If the only threat would maybe be to themselves. And so to have proper help is, I think, a step in the right direction. But I don't see red states adopting this at all. I mean, because their voters are pro-police. They have that thin blue line flag flying
and
shit.
One thing is it's a city thing, not a state.
That's also true.
So individual cities, you know, I know we're pushing for it to happen here in Knoxville, and I think did they take a little bit of funds away? I think there was discussion. I don't know.
I think they're playing a shell game, you know? You know, we'll take away from here, but it's not really going anywhere, and it's back over here.
This
is
the same city that told us like a year and a half ago that they were going to invest in body cameras, and we still don't have body cameras on the cops. So speaking of body cameras, you know who else doesn't have body cameras?
Who?
Metro Nashville Police Department. Who just like yesterday
doesn't have body cameras, right?
Well, Knox County Sheriff's Department has them.
But they don't have any, like, they don't have to have them on all the time, right?
No.
No, there's no mandate. Yeah. I don't think right now there's anything punitive for officers that disable their
anywhere.
Body cams.
I don't think anywhere there's penalty. I think that's one of the issues that people are like, you know, out there screaming about is the lack of accountability is that, you know, these officers can just turn that body camera off and it's no big deal. But yeah, Tennessee has a problem of just not having the body cameras.
You know, what's kind of a terrifying thought or a depressing thought is that we're in an age where everyone carries a video recorder in their pockets.
Right.
Well, that's the only reason we're seeing the evidence of these atrocities. But this has been fucking going on for a long time. We just didn't know about it.
Well, that's like in Nashville. So yesterday, a 21-year-old was shot. His name, let me get his last name here real quick. It's Marquette. The story with him, Marquette Martin. There's live streams immediately after the shooting that was all over social media, and witnesses are saying that the police shot this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Police come out a few hours later and say that they got calls about a suspicious person with a gun, so they showed up. Marquette takes off running. He falls, drops his gun. He picks his gun up and continues running, and the gun fires, and he shoots himself. Well, you know, like you said, there are cameras everywhere now. So we get another angle and or an, like a footage of the actual shooting, and it doesn't really show what police are saying happened. You see Marquette running. Now this is like a security camera. It seems like where there's like time lapses, mm-hmm. and it's like every couple of seconds. You see him running, it kind of stops, and then it continues on, but you don't see the cops gaining on him at all, as if he fell. Next thing you know, you see a cop raising his hand towards him, and it's from a distance, so you can't see what's in that hand. But just after the cop raises his hand towards Marquette, who's running away from him, he just falls forward to the ground. You don't see him trying to get up. In fact, after like it freezes for a second. Mm-hmm. He's in the exact same position in the exact same spot that it was before that little 2 second pause. So he clearly at that point wasn't trying to pick up his gun and run. So it really looks by this footage like the cops just flat out shot him in the back of the head as he was running away.
Well, the back, I mean.
Are they really trying to say that he shot himself when they're, I mean, they're going to be doing ballistics, yeah, yeah. right?
Yeah, but the cops handle the ballistics, too, so...
Right. Well, there should be an autopsy. Everybody who was there...
Are they saying that he shot himself on purpose?
No.
That was an accident when he was running.
An accidental discharge.
What I think they're hinting at is...
They would be able to tell that, for sure.
Or when he dropped it that and picked it up, like, sometimes it fired... Like, it misfired as he picked it up or something and was running. Like, the maybe dropping it...
We all know our gun safety, like, I don't know, like...
We know our gun safety, but...
I think you would know where he shot himself if that happened.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if you pick up a gun and you start running, like, with it, how are you going
to
hold that gun? You're going to hold it...
He would have to be shot on the side, yeah.
You're probably going to pick it up.
At best, the side of the leg, I would think.
He didn't shoot himself in the back, that's for sure.
You're not going to pick up that gun and point it to you in any way.
Yeah.
You're going to pick up that gun, probably have it at your side, and keep running. Even if you're running and you
might
have
shoot
it here,
in the leg,
like on the side, your arm's going to go up and. But it's not. They keep saying that he was shot in the head. I did watch a video after the shooting, and I've heard some people say that you can see he was shot in the head. I was watching on my phone. I was not able to get full screen to really examine that video, so I personally can't say like yes, he seemed to be. Shot in the head. But if he was shot in the head, who fucking runs and points a gun at their head to shoot themselves? Like,
crazy
it's there's there's nothing really natural about that. So it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I would
and
think ballistics would cover this.
I would think so as well. Like, I think that was just a knee-jerk reaction to, you know, calm the PR storm. But the ballistics,
trying to
I think
cover
will,
their backs, too.
Yeah, but I think, yeah. I mean, eventually ballistics will reveal. And, I mean... It'll reveal the truth if they release, obviously.
Exactly. If they release it, who does it? If an independent source does it? If anybody outside of the police department is able to actually see the body?
Mm-hmm. Needless to say, we can probably expect to see some action in Nashville this weekend as far as protests and stuff. In fact, I'm already hearing maybe Clarksville Black Lives Matter and Nashville Black Lives Matter are organizing.
You would know this more than me. Are they still like banning the public areas for protesters? I know that was an issue last year
so
in Nashville.
It's not that like you can't protest on public ground. You can. You cannot. You can't have occupations.
It's a ratchet strategy.
They call it, which they tried to do this back in 2010, 2011, when, I guess it was 2011, with Occupy.
So, like, you can walk through, but you can't stand still for, like, an hour?
No, you can stand still. You can be out there for fucking 4 hours during the day protesting. That's fine. You can't set up canopies or tents. You can't have anything there overnight if it's like, the state property.
I see.
So,
I think it's part of a ratchet strategy to just incrementally pass things.
It is. I think Knoxville has
the same
thing.
Oh, Knoxville hates protesters. I can tell you that.
Right. That's what I was thinking earlier when
Nashville
I was talking
does
about
too.
Marquette.
Tennessee hates protesters.
Because
we'll
I know people are going to be like, well, why was he running from the cops? And it's like, Fucking, I ran from the cops when I didn't do anything illegal. Sam, why have you ever ran from the cops?
Like, well, it's a, you know, that's fucking irrelevant because, you know, they think there are certain crimes that result that death is an appropriate response to, and I don't get that.
It's not.
Well, he shouldn't have complied. What crime? I just want to ask people, like, what crime? I mean, obviously, there's some people who are.
He didn't even do a crime. He was just like.
But it doesn't matter. Not, you know, yeah, robbery. That does not equal, you know, an instant death sentence. I don't understand why they support that. And they're like, he should just done, you know, complied.
But with nothing that's come out of Nashville for Marquette, there has been nothing saying he actually committed any kind of crime. It was just that he had a gun. Well, guess
what?
Hanging
out somewhere.
I have a gun on me like 99% of the time when I'm outside of the house. You know, just having a gun on you doesn't make you a criminal, or else a whole bunch of white boys would be criminals, you know? Like, but a black man with a gun, the police have to, like, go chasing after him.
Yeah, and they don't try any nonviolent means. Like, you know, he doesn't have any nonviolent, thing on his utility belt. He's not Batman. He goes for his gun. There's no attempt to subdue anybody in any. They go straight for kill methods because someone's running away. Like, what's worst case scenario if he even gets away?
I think that a lot of the problem stems from that how much we militarize the police as well. I mean, these guys are a lot of times full tactical. They're carrying, you know, they're not law enforcement at times. They're, you know, militarized terrorists at sometimes. I mean, I want to circle back to, we talked about it a little bit last show, the January 6th insurrection, and largely there were a few cops who did help and reduce violence by directing the mob away.
Probably
from
saved lives.
They definitely saved lives because if they saw Romney, the video I saw at the beginning of the impeachment proceedings, you know, Romney was in danger, and they fucking hate them to Romney because Romney voted for his conscience in the impeachment proceedings. But for the most part, largely police in action, and in sometimes they were complicit in allowing them through and assisting them and taking selfies with them. That is in stark contrast to what we saw over the summer where it was peaceful as shit until the cops drove by and just maced them from the windows. They would run them over. They would beat them. They would launch tear gas, I mean, at these protests. And they fully instigated it, and because they were militarized in that gear, and a lot of those protests became violent as a result of the action the police gave to them. I mean, they, you know, shot people in the face with those rubber bullets, the beanbag shotguns. Like, they caused a lot of damage to just clear out an area because they were just merely occupying it. And I just wanted to, I mean, and I think it's because of the race thing. I mean, it was largely white at the insurrection attempt.
It's also against them. I think that they had a personal grudge against it, too. Like, that's definitely how I felt about it from my experience as well. When people are out there, they're protesting them.
Right. I guess that's true.
So even if it's a bunch of white people, they're still like, you're out here because you hate me. And I'm like, yes, I do. That's why I am here. Thank you.
So speaking of the militarization of police, Unicorn Riot came out with this report on this. It's the Cirrus SR-22 spy plane, which I can't find the part on here, but I believe it's the surveillance technology on it is better than the military has. They admitted through, well, I guess public records probably came out with it, but the fuel alone on this was $137,000 over the summer for surveilling the protesters in Portland.
Yeah, they love their toys. They just want to use their toys.
Didn't Knoxville buy a fucking tank?
Yeah. American Cannon rode around on it
They say that they didn't buy it. And this is what
it was a rental.
No, it's not. So
just go to your local tank emporium.
It's federal funds that are being sent to police departments for this purpose. So it's not coming out of, like, Knoxville's tax money, like our tax dollars.
It's still coming out of our tax dollars.
Yeah. So Yeah, that's their defense. It's not the police department isn't seeking this stuff. The federal government is just sending it. They're it's still a fucking problem.
That's the same thing of when you yell at a manager. They're like, let me get my actual manager, the owner. Like, they just want you to complain up the chain.
Have they ever used that thing besides PR stunts?
No, because they don't have any other use for it.
It's so dumb.
Even in Knoxville, they had all their high-tech gear out. They're just like, oh, let's use our toys.
Because they're
police are children. They want to use toys. They're high school bullies that want to use their toys.
I want to play with toys too, but they're not fucking tanks and yeah. shit to kill people.
That's great. But back to our top story regarding the police. I do want to see more of these programs and more money going to them, because that's just, I mean. I like where they're going, but I wonder if it's just a PR thing, because a two-person team only in a city the size of Denver, you would think they would divert more funds to a program like that. Or do you think it's just a pilot program?
I think it's just one car, like per car, not the entire program. I don't think the entire program was made up. I mean, I think there were probably
shifts.
In 6 months,
they only took 748 calls, so I'd have to imagine that.
I mean, like I said, Denver is trying to decriminalize drugs. They've already, you know... They've decriminalized weed. They decriminalized mushrooms. They were trying to do, you know... They want to probably do what Washington is and decriminalize basically everything.
Yeah. Right.
Because, I mean, as I support, Denver, like, it's a waste of time and everything.
Denver is much more progressive than... Denver is
a lot more progressive than other parts of Colorado, too.
Right.
That's true.
As part of the defund the police, not only should those funds be diverted to other programs, but they should also be spending way more fucking money on training these the police, because they go through very minimal training.
Oh, no, they get plenty of training. It's just the wrong kind.
I thought it was kind of short, I thought.
No, I mean, well, they get trained, so I don't know
who the guy was.
They know
how to jump over a wall really well.
No, I mean, like, they had the, I think it was John Oliver who did a special on the training that cops receive, and the top trainer... pretty much taught cops, and this guy went across the U.S. It's not like he just did the training in one state. No, he's gone to all of these different states. He travels to teach different police departments, and what he did was teach them that everybody looks at them as the enemy. Everybody is out to kill you.
Yeah.
You have to be on the defense because these people want you dead.
That's why when they walk up to your car on a simple speeding ticket, they still have their hand on their gun.
I've seen
that.
Oh, man. Because they're taught, doesn't matter what they look like, your grandma.
Do you know
they could kill you because you're a cop.
Fucking in Tennessee, so this is never – I've never seen this until I got to Tennessee. And it probably happens in other states. I'm just not aware of it. But in San Antonio, when you get pulled over by one officer – in both times I've been pulled over, there have been 2 to 3 vehicles, a canine search every time. And I was a scrawny little 18-year-old punk in a small SUV, and they always demand to search your vehicle every time. I was too naive to be like, fuck you. You don't need to search my vehicle because you don't have probable cause. But I thought it would just be easier to let them do it because that's kind of what society makes you believe. But now I know better, and I'll just tell them to fuck off. But then they'd make me – I know they ruled they can't make you wait an extended amount of time.
Oh, really?
No, they can't. They can't. A Supreme Court case ruled that if they don't have one within a certain amount of time, they can't detain you any longer without probable cause. You would have
without
a coercive action.
Without probable cause.
Right.
But they can call anything probable cause.
Well, if they're trying to find if they're trying to search for drugs, they can't do so without the K-9 indicating to them. And that's an air quote.
No,
because I think
all
they
have to say is, I smelt weed coming from that car. That is probable cause.
Oh, okay.
I had a friend who, they searched his car because they saw an apple core in his car, and they said that it could have been like a makeshift bong.
The fuck?
I got pulled out of my car.
That was in Knox County.
In Salina, Tennessee, on my way to visit my dad in Kentucky once. And so the kids in the back seat of the car, probably 7, 8 years old. I get out of my car. This cop, the entire time. So for those of you listening, haven't seen me in person, I'm all of 5 feet tall. I am tiny.
That's not a fucking good day.
Yeah, there's nothing threatening about me. I am tiny. I could punch Nazis all day long and it's not going to do anything because I'm a little wuss. So this cop, who's like twice my size, the whole time he's talking to me, has his hand on his gun.
Damn.
My kid is in the back seat watching this cop with his hand on his gun. And like, I'm just livid. Because, you know, I know my kid is back there scared. And it's, they thought I had pot. Really? Really? Is it worth fucking, like,
that's
threatening me. I'm sorry. When you come
it
at me.
It is absolutely threatening.
That's
absolutely threatening.
With your hand on your gun. I don't care if you've drawn it yet. You're telling me you're willing to pull that gun on me. And that is threatening me. And you're threatening me in front of my child.
This is like, also the real reason why they don't want to decriminalize drugs, because it's that easy for them to use it as an excuse. It's that easy for them to use an excuse to search your car, to arrest someone on suspicion. Like, that's what drug laws have always been for, especially for targeting minorities.
And this Salina, Tennessee, so, like...
I have no idea where that is.
It's this Tennessee? Nothing little town on the border of Tennessee and Kentucky.
Okay.
Those people are bored. Like, I drove through that town later.
Yeah, exactly. They're bored. Exactly. That's why they call two cars. They're like, I know you're not doing anything else. Want to harass these teenagers?
And, see, like, I drive through, which you guys know my cars. I always have, like, controversial stickers on my car. They said that I had a taillight out, but I knew I was getting pulled over. I made a wrong turn, and I approached a stop sign, and I see a cop heading towards me, and I'm like, fuck. No, it wasn't the stickers right off. It was my red hair. I had long red hair, side shaved. I clearly didn't look like I was from this teeny tiny little redneck town.
Right.
And so I, like, the cop, as soon as he got past me, I look in my side view mirror and see his brake lights. I'm like, fuck, I'm about to get pulled over.
Right.
I knew it.
I hate that fucking feeling.
Like, he used the excuse that I had a taillight out.
That he
you
saw.
You were ready to pull me over before you even, I even had a chance to hit the brakes.
Right.
You know, like, and so, like, after I get back to Knoxville, I tell a friend of what's going on, and we go to a comedy show, and they're driving behind me in that same car, and they're like, your brake lights work just fine.
Of course.
Yes.
You know?
So, I mean, I know my privilege, too. When I'm pulled over, I'm like, hello, officer, I'm white. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You can go on.
Let me tell you.
Your brake lights aren't out. Goodbye.
So I drove in San Antonio for at least a year and a half before I came to Tennessee, and, like, the first fucking month I get pulled over twice. But the first time, I didn't have my parent with me. It was my first time being pulled over, you know, and by the police. So I didn't know what the fuck to do or how to deal with that. They don't really train you on how to deal with it. And so they made me fucking get out because they wanted to search my vehicle. And it was kind of cold because I just moved here in December, January. And I was fucking anxious as shit. So my hands kind of went in my pocket. And dude got super fucking nervous, yelled at me to get my hand and, you know, hand to the gun. Like, how am I so threatening? Like, I don't understand. I understand that, you know, people do keep weapons in their hands and that's dangerous for them, but...
It's because they've been trained to think we're all ready to kill them.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. So what I learned from my experience, like, cops always... The first job when you want to become a police officer is always working in jail, too. And that's... And through the detention system... Like, that's part of the otherness training. Like, a lot of cop training is otherness training. Mm-hmm. Us versus them. These people, like, they have broken the law. They are, like, lower than you now because mm-hmm. they're here. That's part of, like, oh, let's get them in another uniform because they're different than you. Like, they are in a bad position. Like, it's all, like, these people are not, like, they're not seen to serve and protect. That is not, like, as the Constitution has... told them they are not constitutionally obligated to serve and protect. They see you as an opposing force.
I think you're absolutely
right.
I think
it was in 2005 that the Supreme Court ruled that it is not the job of cops to protect
yourself. Yeah, get it off your fucking car then.
Like, right.
But I think you're 100% right that the majority of their training is to protect themselves and assume that there is a dangerous threat at every situation, makes them so trigger happy and make, you know, that they think that their life is always in jeopardy, and that's why there's all these people that get shot. Wasn't there a guy that got shot recently? He wasn't even the suspect. Like, they were chasing a guy. Yeah, it was...
Shit happens all the time.
Yeah, they were chasing a guy. And it was like, hey, that guy's in a black shirt, and I didn't find out why, because they're still investigating. They just opened fire on him. I don't know if he had a gun or whatever the case, but
I don't know. They ultimately found
the real suspect hiding in a shed like two houses over.
So that police trainer I was talking about earlier, if anybody wants to go look that up, his name is Dave Grossman or Grossman. Grossman.
Okay.
But it's worth looking into that. Like I said, I think John Oliver did a whole special on that. And the police unions, which are just as problematic.
Yeah, and if it's John Oliver, I highly recommend everyone check that out, because his segments are always amazing and eye-opening as well.
Yeah, he has some that, like, he does good information, but he also has some shit-lib views as well. I overall like him,
yeah.
but he's
more liberal than leftist.
Yeah.
But he's still very entertaining.
He's still a force for good.
Important issues, yeah. Like...
I can't expect there to be any actual leftist media. What is leftist media? Who's
Unicorn
on TV
Riot?
That's leftist?
Oh, that's
who's
not
on TV?
TV.
Name one thing on TV. Period. There you go.
Yeah, there's no left OANN equivalent. There's no left Newsmax equivalent, I think. And
OAN, are they on actual TV or are they just internet?
Yes, they're on fucking TV.
Are you fucking kidding me?
At least
like
Newsmax
on a cable
is.
Package.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Uh huh.
What the fuck? How the fuck did they get
on? It didn't take
long.
It didn't take long. I know for sure it was, even I have AT&T TV and it was on there.
That's disgusting.
Another thing you have to block from
subject.
Your grandparents.
Oh, that's gross. So I kind of wanted to talk about something a little bit more lighthearted. This is something you sent to me earlier and it cracked me up. This is from the Daily Beast. Did you guys hear about this? The Tennessee man that was shot and killed during a YouTube prank robbery gone wrong.
A prank robbery.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that's... I mean, you know
so
what?
Here's what happened. So, this guy...
how many subscribers did he gain from that?
I know. It's the dumbest thing ever. I ultimately dislike a lot of prank videos because it's meant to embarrass or, you know,
well,
cause harm.
You know, there was... Okay, so there was this movie that I saw... I'm not even going to name it because I don't want to plug it. But there was a movie that I saw and there was a scene in it where a guy is trying to get really popular. He's trying to go viral and he, like, murders somebody on his viral stream and everyone, like, likes him and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this movie's stupid as shit. And then, like, there was a story later this summer that, like, there was a live murder on someone's live stream and everyone on it, like, was going crazy for it. Like, oh wait, that really happened. Like,
what's that movie, that Netflix, the fucking cat murderer?
You don't fuck with cats.
Oh, yeah. That's what it reminds me of. But yeah, let's hear
this.
But
that was
break.
The whole point of that. You can kill people and get likes, but you can't kill cats and get
right.
likes.
Oh, not at all.
That was the point of that documentary.
Okay, so... So Timothy Wilkes approached basically a group of people... And so he was with a friend as well. They approached a group of people. Obviously, the guy was probably recording him, carrying butcher knives. Carrying fucking butcher knives.
Did he have, like, some, like, The Purge mask on or something? Was he trying to, like...
I don't think the other person didn't
know he was... Like, they didn't know they were being pranked.
It wasn't
like a stage prank. Like, you see on Facebook all these prank videos, and you can tell they're 100% staged.
I'm going to read this verbatim because it's... I think whoever wrote this article was just... I thought it was just hilarious. Starnes told police he fired in self-defense. Wilkes and the other person were pretending to rob the group for a video, but Starnes was not in on the gag.
As someone who concealed carries...
It's just a joke, bro. It's just a joke.
Like he's bleeding out. It's just a prank, bro.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. If a couple of people walked up on me on a, like
yeah.
a park or some
oh, absolutely.
Shit, and they pulled knives on me...
I mean, if they're brandishing, like, two people, one of them brandishing a knife coming at you and threatening to rob you.
I'm shooting you. I'm sorry, I'm shooting you.
I know it's just a silly story, but I wanted to talk about it because it's just dumb and kind of lighthearted to joke about the dumb shit that people do.
That's a story of you fucked around and found out.
You fucked around and found out, exactly.
All right, guys, so we have this impeachment happening, and we should probably talk about it for a bit. Have you guys been following it all?
Oh, yes, the treason.
The treason 2.0. So I did. I followed I watched the video they put out. It was a 12-minute video. It was a 12-minute video that they had that showed Trump's comments and then juxtaposed that with the insurrection and even new footage I had never seen before. They edited the shit out of this, and it was really powerful imagery. Did you guys ever see that? It was a.
I've been hearing the audio, so I'm listening in my car while I'm driving around. You know, So I'm not seeing any of the video footage, but I'm hearing, and I don't even know if it was the 12-minute one that I've seen, but
yeah,
I've been hearing
clips.
A whole lot of audio from Trump. What gets me is, like, they're not focusing just on January 6th.
Yeah.
They're covering Trump's entire presidency. They're covering from when he campaigned.
Well, because it's all a culmination of everything he's done. I mean, he's incited the people during his rallies to kick and beat up people that were there protesting.
So is that what the 12-minute video is?
No, that was introduced probably either yesterday or today.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, but I don't believe that was part of the initial. I think that was solely the January 6th insurrection, the video that I saw. And then I saw a lot of people have seen this because The Daily Show put this out. The attorney for Trump, Bruce Castor.
Oh, man.
Why can't Trump get a good attorney? I mean,
no one wants to work with him.
They all leave him. But so let's go through it. We have Michael Cohen, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell? Sidney Powell. It is an absolute shit show because they can't defend the arguments he's wanting to make, and so any like reputable attorney they all drop out.
Well, all he's wanting to do is like, well, there was election fraud, so
he's
I'm
still
the
claiming
rightful
under
president.
That.
Yeah,
which Georgia is
which
jumped on that, and they're going to try to
wouldn't excuse inciting a riot regardless, but
right.
So it's a bad argument and to make
which is
anyways.
Why his lawyers won't do it. Like,
were you talking about the clip with his lawyer, where his lawyer was literally like, "I'm gonna have to ask for a break because I wasn't expecting that to be so good." Like, literal quote. Like, literally, he's like, "I wasn't expecting."
I don't
the
know.
Democrats
All I know is that
so
he was making the most bizarre, like, opening statement and kind of introducing himself. And
like
he was stumbling all over his words. It was something you would expect from a Trump attorney.
So I remember, going to court like several years ago with my mom. She was trying to get my kid from me, but I ended up the first time I went, I didn't have a lawyer, and they pretty much steamrolled over me. And then after that, I went and got a lawyer to cover me, and it was funny because my mom clearly got the cheapest lawyer she could get, where I ended up paying very little for my lawyer, but I got one of the best lawyers in my town to represent me. And we went back to court, and I remember like just wishing I had popcorn, because every time my lawyer spoke, her lawyer would be over there like, you know, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to hold himself in court. He just like they were being like steamrolled, and that's seeing the videos of him.
Lawyers
it just
are
reminds
great when
me
they're on
that.
Your side. I had that experience as well this last summer with my lawyer.
It's funny when you see the other lawyer like behaving like he is, because you know they have nothing.
But
does nothing matter, because you know we're going up against it, like the Republicans are just straight up traitors.
So I heard
this is doomed to fail because Trumpism has won in the GOP. This is doomed to fail.
Trumpism
is the
GOP.
But I heard this morning when I was watching the news, they were saying that 10 Republicans so far have said that video and everything is what was, can't remember the word they used, but pretty much like it's damning. Like
they're not going to vote. They may say that it's damning, but only six out of the 50 Republican senators.
They're straight up traitors, as is any Republican who still supports
that sentence though.
Only six of the GOP senators voted that that this impeachment was even constitutional. So
okay, but think about back on January 6th. Do you think those six would have even done that? Each time things like this are happening, more GOP are moving over. Mitch McConnell hasn't even...
I'm still surprised that they still think that Trump has any future in the GOP or politics.
It's not that. They just know they're riding his success, because they know if they vote to impeach, then they're going to get primaried or they're going to get voted out, and that's their fear.
We don't even know how Mitch McConnell's going to go on this.
No, we don't.
Because he's been really...
Fuck that guy anyways. I don't care.
Like, he can die in the dirt.
After he votes to impeach,
yes,
he can die
after
in the dirt.
He votes to impeach. Like,
if he will.
The thing
if
is,
he will.
Though, is Trump turned on him.
Yeah.
That is true.
Is he going to go
but
in...
But Trump turned
and
on all of them, and all of them don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They don't care. And I always said this whole, the whole Trump, the whole last 4 years of Trump, they were just agreeing with everything he said because he gave them power. But he doesn't give them power anymore. Trump.
So why are they still loyal?
I think he still, I think he still does, because they know that a vote against Trump with these people that are still angry that think the election was stolen, that if they actually vote to impeach, they will lose in their state when they go up for re-election. I think they'll get primaried.
I hope like hell the fucking Democrats keep the momentum that they've had.
Oh,
even
I'd
though
love
like
it.
fuck Democrats, they're just as bad as Republicans. Well, no,
not just as
marginally better than Republicans.
They're better. They're just, not as good as we want, but they're definitely by far better.
You know, when it comes to capitalism, that's my thing. Like, you know, they're
all capitalists.
I know that's why I say they're not better. But when it comes to like human
some are
rights,
bigoted treasonists.
Democrats are a little bit more. You know, they're you know still killing people with decisions they make. But yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately, I think we all agree this is doomed to fail. And I know we talked on our last show that it may not matter because there are state charges that can be filed against him. And we did, and I did bring up Georgia. I'm happy to report a news story. Let's bring this up. I think this will be our last one before we wrap it up. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, this is from Slate.com, has opened a criminal investigation into Donald Trump's attempt to interfere with Georgia's election.
This is going to be just the first of a few that are coming up.
Well, New York is definitely, New York's definitely going to go after him.
I'm sure there's other states that.
Well, I think it's going to be a dam, you know? Like, once the dam breaks, once one of these people actually.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
So, according to the New York Times, on Wednesday, Fannie Willis, he was actually recently elected Democratic prosecutor, sent a letter to numerous officials in state government, including Mr. Raffensperger, requesting that they preserve documents related to an investigation into attempts to influence the state's 2020 presidential election. They have a very strong, compelling case, and if they do press charges, I think they will be successful.
Do
in that
it.
Endeavor. Do it, indeed.
Do it.
All right, guys. Well, I think we had a great second episode. I'd like to thank everyone that joined us for this. Again, you can find us on all social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can also find us on our website at apostatepod.com. Please give us a 5-star review everywhere you can find us, and we'll see you guys for the next record.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much. Apostates on the Fringe. Apostates on the Fringe.
The views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the opinions and views of the Atheist Society of Knoxville.